if she could be news to the Pharaoh. Then one day she might be queen. If like Sheba, she then could bring presents and wine.
Welcome to the Sunday, September 18th, 2016 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And as I mentioned last week, we're going to be together checking out, unpacking the Prince CD, The Rainbow Children, and the very last song of our musical tribute is going to be cuts from that CD played in sequence as it appears in the on the CD. And after we've listened to it, see what we see. Have some discussion. Sisters and brothers, what is happening to Hillary is a warning to her. We will not let you become president, so what you gonna do? I imagine they've been giving her such warnings for some time, which is why I'm so impressed with her courage. The power guys have seen that we will allow them to pick our president, in a blatant sense, once. Conservatively, they can only conclude that we will so do again. Don't you think the question is now up for more and more of us here in the U.S.? If power doesn't reside in elected officials or CEOs, if presidents and secretaries of state and Supreme Court justices can be dispensed with at the whim of a handful of shadow global statesmen, no muss, no fuss, no questions asked, then how much longer can we pretend this isn't fascism? Let's not forget our oft-cited and discussed Lester Crocker quote, the substance of which is reiterated by Diana Spearman in her book Modern Dictatorship and Eric Fromm, that democracy and totalitarianism are not opposites, and that class is their nexus. Fromm adding that public opinion is easily crafted, and therefore elections. Less so to the degree, which I think has been happening progressively over the last 10 years, to the degree that we are becoming more aware of the games of these hidden power guys, if they become less and less able to manipulate our opinion. An illustration of this continuous attempt to manipulate our opinion from the September 15th, 2016 New York Times, an article called Unsavory Side of Free Wi-Fi Spurs Retreat, which says that free Wi-Fi in New York City led to people lingering for hours, sometimes drinking and doing drugs, and at times boldly watching pornography on the sidewalks. Question, do you think people can be paid to do such things? Do you think agents can be made to do such things? This is called the coerced work system is the shadow global state. This is called they have all of us in their pocket when they manufacture scarcity. When we have to go to a keeper to eat, that's fascism, folks. Because these power mad folk are not hoarding power and resources because they want to free us from our toil one day. We just need to be patient. No. They, for reasons we have been exploring for quite some time in these shows, they are amassing power in order to realize a vision that they have that has been instilled in them for many decades, and in the case of a single life, from infancy up. So the free internet access was shut down. Once you accept the reality of a crafted world, using resources hoarded for the purpose of making happen what you want to happen, so the few can remain ever on top and in control. Once you see this, the motive, means, and mission, you see them, the power guys, and you see how easily, until we see them, we get played. Because we're atomized and can only see to the next bill that has to be paid. And they are organized and have the full global picture and where they're going ever before their eyes. Repeatedly, we've been told by the ancestors, particularly by Proudhon and Kropotkin, that the true wealth is association, is us working together, not only because in association we share the suppressed truths that free us, freeing first our minds and then our bodies, but because freedom is the only wealth that means anything, that feeds the soul, allows us to feed each other, and so continuously reseeds freedom. So without each other, we can't get free of the deeply soul-lost, highly organized tribe of Plato. Prince was sent to bring the love being suppressed in the world. No one else can tell you what work you're here to do, is a sign on the car I use as a bedroom vehicle. It's also on the back of the book, Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. I think it is a useful summary of the solution and the problem. Other people have been telling us what our work is. And that is a recipe for fascism when they have hoarded all the resources for themselves. That is not just a recipe, that is fascism. Prince was sent to bring the love being suppressed in the world. He wasn't very far along with this assignment before the power guys butted up against him. They understood why he was such a threat, though it was a bit before he did, I suspect. It was precisely because he was not talking violence, bitterness, and grievance, but rather because he was talking love. He was asking what unifies us, and because he was talking to the next generation, to youth. And the power guys knew if he grabbed them, the children, then he would have taken from them the future they'd planned on, their intended unshakable hand of totalitarianism. What we now understand is that facing power's hidden hand is facing what we've termed, or Karl Popper perhaps more accurately, Socrates' dilemma, i.e. the difficulty of reaching those most in need of the prophecy. And I was of less certainty on the question prior to having finally discovered Prince, but he has made a believer in prophecy out of me as I look into his life and his path on this earth. Socrates' dilemma, the difficulty of reaching those most in need of the prophecy that we are here to be free. Prophecy is also both Prince's and Proudhon's law. You know, the law of nature. This is our nature. And therefore, our destiny, if we aren't annihilated first, let's don't let that happen, please. We are here to be free, to love one another, and establish a world of peace, mutual help, and harmony, all of which require the absence of coercion. That is our sine qua non, our without which not. That is the premise of everything we do and of all Prince's work. We must remember this when others may try to undermine it. This difficulty of reaching those most in need of this message, which confronted Alice as a hidden compulsion, a hidden trauma within them, these most in need, confronted Prince as Nikola Tesla's particle beam weapon. All the prophets of class answered this question with their very lives, bodies. But the answer, hidden power, ensured we didn't hear until now. I.e., Prince advances our understanding of Socrates' dilemma through his physical experience, the assault on his body, mind, and spirit, taken into his body and answered through his music, and his unshakable determination to stop the suppression of true power by the worshipers of the false. His experience allows us to see that the problem of Socrates' dilemma is systemic, is a tiny, tiny, but highly organized few who got damaged and can't stop from passing their dilemma on to us, hoarding resources for the purpose, seizing our common resources and our collective power manifested in institutions that they defined and controlled, i.e. the answer or the explanation for the dilemma is the state's assumption of the right, quote unquote, of institutionalization, embedding themselves in us, institutionalizing their mission. Not only meant that we were turned against ourselves, that we put ourselves in the yoke they made for us, but that the problem of throwing off the yoke became exponentially more difficult. For, as Alice Miller explains, the state trains us en masse to be obedient, but reclaiming our original wholeness, our authentic selves, our inner light of freedom, our three-phase power, is a laborious one-by-one affair with the full weight of the state set against it. We could illustrate this with a scene from the film Men in Black, in which because an entire group, and think here, newborn infants, has seen something the state mandates they shall not see, i.e. their freedom, they must be gathered all together to, with a beam from one of the state's secret weapons, have their memories of freedom. The gift, as Proudhon and Prince show us, from the eternal, erased. So while all of our current consultants on how to inoculate ourselves from the virus of power all in a sense present as the answer, we must rediscover our inner light, requiring that we expose to our conscious mind, melt those frozen feelings in the sun of our rekindled, intense feelings of longing for our lost vitality. Just listening to Prince, I can't imagine what it must have been being around him. You feel yourself longing for that vitality he manifests. He understood this. That was his purpose, to entice us back to our freedom. Our longing to repossess our interest, an open-ended exploration, our interest in where it went. And in that word interest is fused our three-phase power, interest being sort of like a... We turn to look at it after having our attention monopolized by the power guys. Our interest gets turned back to the source of true power. Prince helps us do that. Our interest in rediscovering three-phase power, our passion for discovery, nature, and love, and see that restoration of our original wholeness as the answer. And all of our consultants, particularly Proudhon, Alice, and Prince, in some sense, tie this restoration to the realm of experience, to the need to re-experience consciously that which has been suppressed. So we're going to be thinking a lot more about this. Prince awakens our interest, gets our attention. We turn to him. What next is the moment we're going to be exploring in depth. Socrates, Jesus, Proudhon, for the most part, reason with us, though all have measures of both reason and instinct, i.e., I use that word Proudhon is using, i.e., what we feel when we let the body speak. They ask us to think it through, for the most part, are prophets, Socrates, Jesus, and Proudhon. Alice and Prince, however, want us to feel, express the feelings that come to us. But how do we confront this systemic disadvantage? Our current consultants, by their example, all appeal, whether intentionally or not, to our formless longing for our lost vitality, that a vitality that comes from our experience of unity, association, merging. But what we've learned from Alice and are learning from Prince is that authentic association is based in our recovering our, each one of us, this three-phase power, our original selves, our freedom. Prince models this like no other, the power of one, the power of occupying fully his own skin. The advance in our understanding of this problem offered by Alice and Prince moves us necessarily to the realm of experience that consciously melds feeling with understanding, i.e., our intelligence reunited with our body's truth, with what our bodies have been telling us to do. Prince's strategy is complex and layered. At base, he wants us to re-experience the eternal. He was about maximizing opportunities to be off-leash. He encouraged us to give ourselves permission to throw off the leash altogether, to toss away the ticking clock and lose ourselves in the all of it, so that we can, by disconnecting from the false voice of authority, begin to hear the truth.